You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party gonna hell? They're out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And, by golly, you know, about 10 minutes ago, Tom called me from the airport. Now, he was supposed to be at his destination at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so it left him plenty of time to dial in for the show. But his flight got delayed all afternoon, and about 10 minutes ago, they had him boarding the airplane, so he's getting ready to take off right now. And, of course, they make you, you don't have cell phone coverage from there, so he was really mad. I think he's going to get his own airplane. But anyway, we'll just do the show and continue on. Tonight is our anniversary, our 7th anniversary show, everybody. And I just got to take about a minute here to, who would that just be in there?
It's Jim.
Hello, Jimmy.
How are you?
I want to, yeah, good. I'll put you on, I'm going to mute you out, and I'll carry on with the show, and we'll get to you as the time goes there, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Nice to talk to you. Well, anyway, everybody, I'd like to extend a great big thank you and and all kinds of hugs and everything else you could think of to all of our listeners and Bigfoot family out there for the years that you folks have supported us, kept us going. I'm telling you, it is the list of names, it's too long to even begin to read. I'd be on here till tomorrow morning if I had to read all the names. There's hundreds and hundreds of you people out there that through these 7 years have come up and, you know, taken your step forward and taken the courage to share your encounter experiences. Many of you were bitten by the Bigfoot bug. Many of you are researchers now. Or if you're not a researcher, you keep your ear to the ground and let us know when things are going on or when something happens. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like it in the whole world. There's so many good people out there. My goodness. Now, we have a few of these good people on tonight, and that's been with us for, well, a few of them have been with us for the whole 7 years we've been here. Each and every single one of you folks, as I talk to you on the phones and call you, and or you call the Bigfoot hotline and give me your encounter experience, many of you we've met through our travels on our expeditions, and many of you have been through some very difficult and hard times, and we understand that as well. Some of you that started out researching had to stop and go on, and of course your family, and your family comes first with everything, and that's okay too. It's quite all right. But all of you out there, I just want to give you a great big old Bigfoot hug, and thank you for all of your everyone's participation through all these years. We thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. Tonight we have a really neat lineup of new people that have come on. And because we have such a long list of people coming on the show here, there are a couple of people who haven't dialed in yet, but there's a couple that may not. There's two that may not. Dave Ortiz is house-sitting, and he's in an area where he has a very difficult signal. He's only got about one or two bar signal, and he was going to try to dial in tonight, but I'm pretty sure what it is. He's in the area there where it's just really difficult to make a connection. So he's going to be on next week, so don't worry. Many of you have sent me emails concerning his Brenda Harris's video, and it's really neat. And he'll be on. He's had some more. There's been some more action going on in the Four Corners area there too as well. UP Dean from Michigan, I just talked to him a few minutes ago, but he has also some phone problems over there, and he may not be able to dial in. He tried to dial in earlier. I was trying to help him. He may or may not be able to come on. So those two guests will not be on tonight, maybe. But we're going to go on. First of all, we're going to go on here to our two of our friends. Last week we had Austin and Mitchell from Maryland. Tonight we have Austin and Brandon. Now Austin and Brandon know Austin and Mitchell. It's the same area, but Austin and Brandon had a visual encounter, and a whole bunch of things. So what we want to do is I want to welcome both Austin and Brandon on the show. And Austin and Brandon, how are you tonight, guys?
Hey, Marco, I'm having a hard time hearing, but I can kind of make out a little bit what you're saying.
Oh, is it very weak or what? Is this better?
Not really.
No? It might be a bad connection.
Is there any way I can dial back in?
Sure. Why don't you go off, dial back in? What we're going to do, what we'll do is I'll just switch you around with Nick. And we'll go to Tim Fasano. And then we'll just put you on after Tim. Okay? You can just hang up and dial back in. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay, guys? I'll see you in a little bit.
All right, thanks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to Tim from Florida. Tim, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Marco.
Can you hear me all right?
Oh, I hear you great.
Oh, okay.
Nice and loud.
Well, Tom just kind of got, he was really mad.
Not in the power, didn't he? The last time I was on the show, Tom couldn't make it either, so.
Well, no, what happened was he was supposed to be his destination at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The flight was delayed all afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and it's a three-hour flight. Or, you know, three-hour flight, and it was delayed all afternoon. And finally, just 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, they called him to replane. They changed the plane, and they reboarded. You know, one of those, right?
Yeah.
And so he was on the plane. He had to hang up his cell phone. So he was all ready to go. We thought we had it all made, but that's what happened.
You know, but, on his anniversary show and all that.
Oh, I know. And that's why he was really mad.
Where was he trying
to get
to?
Say again?
Where was he flying off to?
New York. He had a meeting in New York.
Oh, yeah, he's a New York guy. And today is 9/11. Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. It was, yeah, it is, but it's not just that. It's, he never got off the ground to where he was going. But anyway, Tim, how you been?
No, I've been good. Even though it's the summertime, there's a lot been going on here in Florida.
Well, give us a little background. What's paint a picture for us, buddy?
Well, first of all, something I'm very excited about is, if you've watched my videos on YouTube the last 2 years,
yes,
you know that I work with a guy named Kevin, big tall fella.
Yeah.
And rarely, if ever, do you ever see me without Kevin out in the woods. He's my work partner. He's the guy
uh-huh.
I do Bigfoot research with. And a lot of people don't know this, but Kevin works for a major cable television network, and he's a production guy. And he's also a certified field researcher for MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Reporting Network.
Yeah.
So he's very expert at field investigative techniques. And what he's of the opinion of, and I am, is that the same techniques that are used in UFO research can be transferred into Bigfoot research.
Oh, of course.
It's all about objective reasoning.
Yeah, well, object reasoning, but it's also documentation.
Right,
documentation of different aspects of things, right? Of
right.
evidence
and
other things.
Right. And he said the one thing that they don't want with a new investigator is they don't want a believer. And what they mean by that is they don't want a guy that everything that's flying around in the sky at night is a UFO. And you see this in Bigfoot, where everything that moves in the woods is a Bigfoot. So you got to get people away from that. If you hear something moving out in the woods, understand there's a lot of animals out there, and it could be a raccoon or something. So you see this in the early part of Bigfooters' careers, is that they get very excited whenever they hear anything. And I went through that 5 years ago. I chased armadillos that I thought were Bigfoot, and then I see the little 6-foot monster come out of the woods, and he's really only 6 inches long or something. But anyway, what Kevin's goal was for the last 2 years was to produce a television program, and we've worked hard on that. We've shot video, and we've got people that have come in and worked with us that are production people.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, I'm going to mute you out, good guys. Go ahead, Tim.
Someone else is on the line? Oh, okay.
Well, Austin and Brandon dialed back in. They had a problem they couldn't
right,
listen.
Good.
They couldn't hear the phone.
Well, what's going on is that the the television show that Kevin's been wanting to produce called Enigmatic Anomalies, we have gotten, he's gotten advertisers for it, and the pilot has been sold to a local Tampa television station, and advertisers have signed on, and the program's going to be a go. And this is the largest television market between Miami and Atlanta, which is the Tampa Bay area. And the program is going to initially start at 3:30 in the morning, so, you know, they just want to see how well it may do. And it's going to deal with various forms of paranormal activity like UFOs, ghosts, and Bigfoot, the skunk ape. And
sure.
we're very excited about it. It's a go, and it's going to give us the exposure that we've been looking for. And we're going to incorporate a lot of this in the upcoming Green Swamp field expedition that we're going to be doing in October. But I just wanted to let you know that as I've spoken to you privately, we were not accepted for a major television network.
Well, yeah, but that's not a discredit, believe me, Tim.
Well,
but
there's an old saying in life that if you want to do something right, do it yourself. And,
well, sure, but I mean, the problem with the media, Tim, I mean, and a lot of people do this, they take it personally. It's not. Yeah, basically what happens is the production crews that they have are not production crews with the network. They're production crews that go out independently. They're
right.
Independently funded, and they gather material to sell to the networks. And then when they sell it, they can either sell it or not sell it. And that's what it is. And there's no pay or anything else on the front end of it until after it gets accepted,
yeah.
Usually.
No,
and so that happens to a lot of people, and a lot of people that we know. And
well, we've basically formed our own production company.
Sure.
And we're very excited about that, and we're going to be doing our own work, and we're just going to proceed and keep moving on with our goals and what we want to do, because it's all about research.
Sure, absolutely.
And, yeah, and what I was hoping to talk to Tom about tonight was last weekend I went on an expedition. It was a one-night deal out in the at Hillsborough River State Park, which is part of the Upper Hillsborough Preserve, which is a watershed area of the Hillsborough River. And most of the park is underwater, and they only had a few campsites that anyone could go out to where it was actually dry. And I was one of the only few people out there. And I set up camp and waited for nightfall. And of course, with all the water out there, there were a lot of frogs. So you could definitely hear the frogs croaking at night. And I drifted off to sleep, and I didn't do any exploring. The problem was is that all the trails in most of the Flatwood areas were underwater. So there was nowhere to really go except just stay at the dry land that was your camp.
Right.
Now, I had an experience that I think I've had before, and I wanted to ask Tom about this, is that right around 3, 4 in the morning, after hearing the cadence of the frogs all night long, it was as if the sound of the woods changed. It's like the
yeah.
frogs got a little more quiet, and then I started hearing something else off in the distance. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't think it was coyotes. I'm of the belief that I've heard from others that the skunk ape in Florida feeds real early morning, 3-4 in the morning kind of deal. And
yeah.
I don't know what that calling was. It was distant. Now, keep in mind, Marco, my ears are a lot more sensitive than my video camera. And I knew that if I had just ran video to try to pick up some audio, I probably would not have gotten it, so I didn't even bother. I just paid attention and listened. And it was really, really spooky. And it was in the distance, and you could definitely hear something else other than frogs that was making that noise. And
sure.
I know it's not really much to tell everyone tonight about what happened Saturday.
Well,
but,
no, Tim, you know, sounds, tracks, I mean, you know, visual encounters are very difficult and rare sometimes because of
very
how well
rare,
they can...
Very rare.
Yeah, where they can hide themselves and when they happen. But there's so many other things that you know. For instance, when you go into the woods and you look around, or you go into the area that you're hunting for these, researching these creatures in, and you look around and you can see things that are not normal. You know what I'm talking about? Like tree twists. What can do a tree twist? Well, a bear can't do that.
No, something that has hands.
Something that has hands.
And is
in
very,
most
very,
cases,
very strong. Very strong.
Yes. And in most cases, the branches are too thick for a human to be even able
right.
to even do it. The same thing with the tree breaks. How can you snap a tree, you know, and then peel the bark up underneath it? Is very difficult to do. Tree formation.
Very large animal, very strong animal.
Yeah, tree formations, the same thing. So there are many other things, you know, tracks, you know, areas where where they've built their lairs or places where they sleep. And they look man-made. And, okay, in a far, far, far out, could a man make a lair? Well, of course. However, in the areas that people find these things are not where people are normally at. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. And there's a fellow in Arizona that you know, Mitch Waite,
yeah.
who has found some gigantic lairs, whatever you want to call them,
yeah.
that just could not, no animal that we know of, could have possibly built those things.
And not just, you know, and Mitch has run across it, and he's documented it. But we've had people on the show. There's a lady I can't remember where she's from. She actually surprised, she had a visual encounter of a creature laying down in the bamboo. And the bamboo was all folded under and where the creature had been laying down. And when she walked up on it, it jumped up and took off. And, I mean, you know, things like that. I mean, there's so many different things. We're going to hear some of the other people tonight also that have put all these things together. So, you know, when you go out there, you're not always going to have a visual encounter. But there are other things that we collect and that we take note of. And the other thing is the species of these things. There's several different species. The skunk ape is one, but there's... We have DNA on three or four different ones, you know, that don't match. I mean, they're different. They're not human. They're not ape. But they're something else, you know. And so there's many different things out there, and we're all working towards doing it. You are. I know you're doing a hard job doing that. And so belief. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that Kevin, the guy was talking about, he he's a tech guy. He's got a very good parabolic mic with a recording device and a camera.
Sure.
And the next time we're out there or in the field at that hour between 3 and 4 in the morning, the parabolic mic will pick up the distant sound, and we will be able to record that. And that's what I'm excited about, because I don't think uncommon. I don't think it's uncommon to hear that at that hour. Anybody who's camping out there or whatever is probably obviously asleep. But there's definitely something going on, and this is, you know, what we're pursuing.
Yep. I got you, Tim. You don't got to, I mean, I understand totally. You know, the guy that didn't dial in tonight is Dean. We'll call him UP Dean. He's Upper Peninsula Dean from Michigan. And this past week he's been sitting out. You know, at night it's real hot. It was real hot. And he was sitting out on his porch at about 2 or 3 in the morning. And all of a sudden he had the same thing that you're describing. I mean, all these sounds. And they vary from whistles.
Yes.
Yeah, they from whistles to actually like monkey chatter to howls. And not just one place, back and forth. And, you know, back and forth to each other. Wood knocking, all these different kinds of things the past couple of weeks. And so, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's just surreal. I mean, it's, so there's so many things, you know, that are like that. And so many people experience these things. So, you know, it's an important thing, I think, to gather that information, no matter what it is, and try to put it together.
Well, no,
but anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I know you've got
I think you're doing a valuable thing, Tim.
Well, we're trying, and it's just, it's a time-consuming, never-ending
adventure. and Tim, you know what? Many people are not going to believe anything. I mean, if we took a creature and stood it right in front of them, they'd swear up and down that it wasn't a Bigfoot. I mean, they're that kind of people. You know, but it doesn't make any difference. I've learned through the years not to listen to the peanut gallery, because the peanut gallery is full of people who have no knowledge of anything they're talking about.
It's true, and that's a lesson that it's taken me a long time to learn, because I've always reacted to the peanut gallery, and I gained nothing by doing that.
No, we all do. I mean, it's kind of a hurtful experience when somebody laughs at you or makes fun of you or makes jokes. That's something that you take serious. But the thing is, the important aspect of this whole thing is, you know, what are you doing? You know, people that can throw rocks and stones at other people, but what are they doing to do anything about finding this creature? And the 90% of them are nothing, zero. All they're doing is criticizing everyone that's out there trying to do something.
Yeah,
and that doesn't do anybody any good, and all it does is it just confuses new people that come in. You know, and so anyway, I get geared off, but I mean it's you're doing a great job, Tim. I've followed your work the past few years. I mean, you do a lot of documentation, you put your stuff out there. And it's there for everybody to see. And man, I'm going to tell you that people take pot shots at you all the time, but don't even worry about it, because there's so many other people out there that look at it and they get value out of what you put up there. Mm-hmm. They get information. And every bit of information we get is something more that we found out about these creatures. But anyway, so in October time frame, you guys you're going to have a get-together, right?
Well, yeah, and the reason late October is because of the weather pattern here in Florida.
That's when they start migrating back south.
Well, no, it's just not even accessible. Like I was telling you where I was at Saturday night, where most of that area was underwater. Literally, I've got photographs to show you it's underwater. Most of the trails and the hardwood areas that you would be hiking through, they were not accessible. And even if you had wading boots on and you went out there, you're dealing with snakes and billions of mosquitoes that'll be trying to eat you alive. And I really don't even know what the hell I was doing out there this time of year, but I just really haven't been out there in so long, and I was just chomping at the bit to go do it. I didn't want to wait till November anymore, so I went out there.
No, you get excited.
And I was sweating, I was hot, but I covered myself with off, and it was not an enjoyable experience for your recreational camper, but I was digging it because I was out there at a time when there wasn't anybody else out there, which was
I understand, buddy.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And well, I want this is where Tom is going to call you. I talked to him last week, and he was, of course, this past weekend he was all busy trying to get things ready for his flight out. And he flew out, it was a Monday, and then today he had to take another flight to New York, but he's going to give you a call. He told me he's going to give you a call about, you know, when and where and all that. I didn't give him all the details. I just said the last week of October, and that you had been invited him to that. And so he's going to probably call you and talk to you about it.
Yeah, if he's able to come out. Well, somehow, I don't want him to go out of his way.
Hey, Tim, we have to go our way. That's what we do.
Well, but I know that he goes to Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia. He goes all over the place.
We go all over.
He's doing a road trip. He gets tacked that on to the end of it or something.
Well, no, that's what we do. We go all over. I mean, God, you know how we we travel. I mean, one day we're on the West Coast, and the other day, you know, two more days later, or 3 days later, or 2 days later, we're on the East Coast.
I know. It was 2 years ago he called me from Alabama, and they were going to drive straight through to Florida, and they were going to meet me at I-75 and State Road 50. I told them I would meet them there when they got off the exit at the Radian Station, which was the gas station right off the exit. And they were going to be there at 6 a.m., and I was standing there waiting, and sure enough, 6 a.m., I see the Bigfoot mobile come rolling by, and they, you know, they could have been thinking, we're going to drive all the way down there to Florida, and this guy Fasano ain't even going to show up. But I was there, and Tom was there, and I'm like, he did not have to do that. He drove all the way down here, and of course, I shook hands with him. I was just flattered that he was able to make it. And, real quick, because this is a good little story here. That night when we met up in the field to do the night research, Tom shows up. Now this was a right in the country, out in the middle of nowhere area.
I know.
So Tom shows up and he's got this big bag and he opens it up, and inside he's got linguine with white clam sauce. He's got another thing of lasagna. He's got spaghetti and meatballs. He's got garlic bread with butter on it. And he says, here, you can have this. You know, like he's Italian. He says, mangia, mangia. And he gives it to, I could not believe, out of the middle of nowhere, Tom Biscardi found an Italian restaurant that made that kind of food. And he offered it to me. I took it home and ate it that night. It was delicious. But, you know, we're, Tom Biscardi takes care of his people, man. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Yeah, I know.
I go hungry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tim, we got a large show to do tonight.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much. Thank you.
No.
I wanted you to. Hey, thank you so much, Tim, for coming on tonight. I know you got to get up early in the morning and actually at night.
Yeah. But I'll try to listen to your show as much as I can, and you go ahead and mute me out, and I'll listen to it.
Okay, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and Tim, you take care, okay?
All right, Marco. All right, bye-bye.
Well, everybody, that was Tim Fasano from Florida. It's a good friend. Been a steady friend for quite a years now. Austin and Brandon, how are you, my friends?
I'm pretty good, Marco. How about yourself?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, Brandon, he couldn't make it. He was having phone trouble. Something happened.
That's okay.
Plenty for all in this
morning. Yeah, Austin, tell us. You know, now, some things have been happening in the last couple of weeks. How about just like we talked on the phone, just go through and just tell us what happened.
Well, Bo Susan came in last Friday, and we got up in tree stands. We couldn't hunt Friday, so we got up there Saturday morning. And when I got up there, about 45 minutes before light like I used to do. And I was setting up in my tree stand and hunting, waiting for it to get light, and when it finally did get light, I looked kind of through the brush and kind of saw this object moving, and it, like, made a loud scream. So, I mean, I knew it wasn't a human scream, so I thought it was pretty weird. I kept on watching as it came closer, and I saw it was real hairy, and at first I thought it was a bear, but as it got closer, I knew it wasn't a bear, so I figured the only thing it could be was a Sasquatch. So I had a good look at it, and I'm pretty certain that it was.
Yeah, and what made you determine that? It was walking on two legs, is that?
Yeah, it was walking on two legs. I mean, I know a bear can get up on their hind legs, but they can't walk as far as that on their hind legs.
Right. Now, tell us what else happened.
Well, so it walked right by my trail camera that I had out to take pictures of deer. So I knew that I didn't. Usually I'll turn my trail camera off because it has a flash that scares the deer if they come in. So I didn't turn it off. So when it walked by, I figured maybe I'd take a picture of it. So thinking I got down, once I got done hunting that morning, checked the car, just sure enough, I had a picture of it. That's a picture
I know. And I want to tell you something, Brendan. It's an absolutely phenomenal picture.
Yeah.
And, We didn't post it because we don't want to get all kinds of media interest right now on it.
Yeah.
But we're doing some other things right now with Brandon and Austin. But we're going to be getting together with you soon, right?
Yeah. Check her
okay.
out.
And, you know, so now what happened to Brandon now?
Well, he's been going up there putting corn out and everything to his house, and he's been hearing these weird screams, like same thing I heard, and he saw one the other night.
Did I lose you, Brandon? Oh, okay. You're there.
He said he's been seeing them. He saw one the other night, and he didn't know what it was. So he thinks that that's what he saw, because he saw it in the same area that I did when he was going up to put corn out.
Uh-huh. And now, were you guys visiting a friend's house or something when this happened, too? No?
No, this is at our house, or his house, I mean.
You're at his house. Okay, you're at his house. Okay, got it.
Yeah, this
so both of you, basically, both of you have had a visual encounter of this creature. You
yeah,
have a picture of it.
Yeah, I got a picture on my chair.
Which is a pretty good thing. What else did you find?
We found some, like, tracks that we figured been caught in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And this real big hole that we thought was maybe a foxhole, but we think it's kind of too big. Kind of looks like a den or something maybe he's crawling
mm-hmm.
into. It's on like a little rock break, I guess. Kind of into the side of a little bank. So it's almost like a
now
little
you guys also heard some various noises and things too, right?
Yeah, we've been hearing some real weird noises that we ain't sure what they are.
Yeah, some of them were howls-like?
Yeah, kind of like a real, like, not like a coyote or nothing. Like a, you can tell it's something else that I've never heard
right.
before.
Uh-huh. And then, and so then when we talked on the phone, you guys went back out there and told you about these looking for tree breaks and things like that, and you found some other things too, right?
Yeah, we found a couple of the twist things around, right around this, that hole.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. It's like it's dead or something.
It's amazing. My gosh, I'll tell you. Now, will you be able to stay on tonight? I know you got to get up early in the morning to go to school.
Yeah, we got to get to school. Yeah, I'll be able to stay on for a little bit, probably till about.
Because later on, at the very end of the show, we'll have about a 5 or 10 minute period there where there may be a lot of people want to ask you questions.
Yeah,
if that's
I'll
okay.
Try to
well, you know, I want to thank you so much for
right.
you and Brandon both for coming on the show and sharing your experience with us. And then obviously we'll be talking with you here later in the week. And, well, of course, I'll keep in contact with you all the time. And you know that you can call me anytime, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be there and you can, anything happens, whatever, you just give me a call anytime and we'll see what we can do to give you a hand in any way we can, okay?
All right, thanks, Marco.
Okay, I want to mute you out and we're going to go to the next guest. And thank you so much for coming on, Austin. And tell Brandon.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, too. I'll see you at the end of the show here.
All right, see you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Austin and Brandon from Maryland. We're going to go next to Nick from Ohio. And Nick has a really neat experience that he went through. Nick, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you? I don't know how long I'll be with you because the phone's dying.
I understand. I'm not going to waste any time, Nick.
Yeah.
You just go right ahead and tell us what happened.
Well, my friend lives in southern Ohio, and during the summer he's had some unusual things happen to him. Like one night in July, he was watching TV, and his mule was making all kinds of noises. He overheard it through his TV and got up and went out on his deck. And it seems he was pawing at the ground and had her head up like there was some kind of predator in the area. And it wasn't like a few minutes after that, he heard this scream, this god-awful scream. He described it as a horror movie, the old horror movies,
right.
where the woman finally sees the creature and
yep.
screams. That's how he described it. And then about 3 weeks ago, he started getting these high-pitched whistles. And they would respond to one another, and then there'd be tree knocking. And so I sent an email to this Ohio Bigfoot search team, and they asked for his number, and they sent an investigator down there. And it was just him and this investigator. They had a few strange things happen, like tree knocks and a few noises. And Kenny thought he heard something like chatter, like what you said earlier.
Yeah, monkey chatter.
Yeah, he thought he heard that, and they didn't record anything. The recorder died, and I came the next weekend, a Sunday, and we got there. I unloaded my stuff and stuff, and the night came, and we went to this bridge he has near his property, and we did a couple tree knocks around 10:30, and we got two responses back. Like, it sounded like one response, though, but it was off in the distance. We got the tree knocks, and then we did a little bit more, but we didn't get anything. So we went to his house, and about 11 o'clock, we heard the whistles again, and it sounded like it was about 30 yards from us. The whistles are kind of hard to explain because they're high-pitched, and we never really heard anything like that. He hasn't. The guy that was investigating, he never really heard anything like that, and so we don't know what they are, but he hears the whistles every now and again still. He heard one last Friday. And anyway, we went inside, and I started to go to bed.
Are you there, Nick? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think Nick's battery went out. What Nick was going to try to tell you guys was that he actually, within 3 hours, had two visual encounters with this creature. One, he was walking through the field. He went out into the field and was walking through the field. And he was, as he was walking, it was like he had scared this thing. It was sitting down or laying down in the grass, and it stood up and took off, but it hissed at him. It did a hissing sound. It hissed at him, and it took off. And he scared him so bad that he ran back to the house, his friend's house, and then a little while later he was going back down there again in another area. And the same thing happened. Are you there, Nick?
Nick.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah, go ahead. I just told him that. Go ahead and tell us exactly what happened when you went out in the field.
Oh, no, I didn't go out on the field. I went back inside after hearing the thing being killed.
Yes.
And then I just killed time, and I was excited about what I heard. I mean, I didn't really know what it was. I wanted to tell somebody. So I called them. I was trying to call my parents. I couldn't get a hold of them. About 7 p.m., I got brave enough to head down towards his woods. So I
went
down over this hill, and I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was going to do, but I remember on the show, they let out, like, whooping noises and stuff. So I let out two whooping noises, and something stood up. I mean, there was nothing there when I looked down there. It stood up. It hissed at me twice. It went and took off running. It went one way, and I went back to the house. So I was excited. I called my parents. I was hyperventilating. I probably had a minor heart attack. I don't know what it was. It was a creature that it shouldn't have been there. I woke my friend up about an hour later, and he kind of calmed me down. He told me, well, it might have been a deer. Deer do that. So I got brave enough again around 10 o'clock to go enter the woods to look for tracks. So I'm in the woods. I don't know how long I was in there, 5-10 minutes. And I'm hunched over. I'm concentrating on the ground, not the surroundings around me. And I'm hunched over, and I see this brown, dark green, like, poop, basically, scat. And I was like, that's weird. Shouldn't really be here. It looks kind of humanish or something. And I start to get a sample of it. And as soon as I do that, over my left shoulder, I hear, and I kind of think it's my friend messing with me because he does that. He likes to prank me. And so it takes me a little while to react. I raise up and I turn and look. I see the thing take off running, and it's like zigzagging through the woods, or it looks like it's trying to avoid stuff. And I realized it was that creature again, and I bolted the other way.
I understand.
That's my story. Well, I went back the next morning, and I thought I'd be brave enough again, but I heard sound like trees breaking, two loud cracks, and I went back to the house that morning. I was like, I wasn't going back into the woods again. But that's my
story.
Now,
you also found some scat, right?
Yeah, I got the sample of the scat. I showed you the
Yep, I got a picture. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you go up on www.bigfootlive.com and you look underneath tonight's listing for Nick, you're going to see a slideshow picture of two slideshow pictures of a footprint and also of a of the scat in a plastic bag.
Did you did you get the black light that one photo I sent you of the print?
Yeah.
You did? Did anything
but
come
I
up?
Didn't I didn't look at it in black and white. I didn't have time to do that. I'm gonna do that later.
Okay.
It'll be more pronounced when it's in black and white.
This thing was probably 6'5", weighed 250-300 pounds. It was like a dark wood finish kind of like coat. It was covered in hair. I didn't see any ears. I saw the back of its head. The ears must have been covered up by the fur. So
right.
That's what I saw, and that's it.
Well, that's enough.
I literally am going to have somebody go in the woods with me probably for a while.
Well, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you should. Most people do. Normally they go out in pairs or teams.
Yeah.
They work together. Because an experience like that, Nick, people, it's not unusual for people to get scared. Don't worry about it. It's a natural human reaction. And but it's, as I told you, some things to look for when you, if and when you get back in there to take a look around. You know, some tree twists, look for some layer type things, tree snapped in half, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I sent you that photo of that one after you told me that I looked through the photos that I took.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I knew a few things, but not like a whole bunch of things like you told me, so, I mean,
And what you try to do is try to assimilate what can, you know, you look at different aspects of what you find in an area there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to figure out what it is that could have done that.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you, a lot of times on things like this, like tree breaks and tree twists, you know, a lot of people, that was a bear or a deer. Well, a deer cannot twist a tree.
Yeah.
And that a deer cannot make a footprint like a human.
That twist was pretty high up on that pick, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Nick, I want to thank you so much. You know, you and Austin and Brandon tonight came on the show here to share your experience. It takes courage to do that because, as you already know, many people don't believe what you told them, right? Even your best friend. But see, that's the way it works. Happens.
He won't believe it till he sees one.
Well, that may not be too far from the future here, being it's in his backyard.
Yeah, definitely.
But I want to thank you and all the time that you've called me and we've spent together and going through things. I will keep in touch with you as always, and
okay.
You can continue as well. You can keep in touch with me. Let me know what's going on. And we'll just touch base with each other. And I do really appreciate all the efforts that you made to contact us and keep us informed. Thank you.
I hope we can find somewhere to send a DNA sample for that.
Yeah, I'm going to find that out. See, Tom is in a predicament right now. I'm going to have to wait until he settles down tomorrow sometime.
Okay.
So, by the end of this week, I'll have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay? He's in a flight right now, and of course he's out all day and not able to talk to him. I'm going to mute you out, but at the end of the show we have about a 5-minute period, and if you want, there may be people wanting to ask you some questions about it. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nick, and from Ohio, and of course he's shared his experience with us. Let's go to, to Rex. Rex, how are you? I got to unmute you.
Hey.
How are you, Rex?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, Tom didn't make it to the show. He's on a plane right now.
Uh-huh.
But, Rex, it's been a while since we've had you on the show.
Sure.
But how you been doing? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, Rex is one of our team members. And the next gentleman we're going to have on is also one of our team members. And they go with us on expedition. And we've been with both of these guys now for, what, seven years?
Yeah, from 2005.
Yeah, a long time. Well, Rex, how you been? Tell us what's going on and how you been.
Well, I moved from California to New Hampshire, and so my Bigfooting hobby has taken, slowed down a lot. So there's not much to do up here. And so I'm just settling in New Hampshire and surviving the winters and exploring the historical sites.
Yeah, you know we've had, Rex, we've had quite a few reports in the last month. Listen to this. Massachusetts, 2. Connecticut. Rhode Island. Newfoundland. Newfoundland. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I read a report of a place, of a sighting in Guilford, New Hampshire, and I went hiking in that area. And, you know, I went to Maine and visited Kayla.
Yeah.
Visited that area. And then a couple of years ago, I walked in Massachusetts. I hiked through Leinminster State Park. Leinminster is where Johnny Appleseed is from.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hiked through that forest because there was supposedly some activity over there. And so I still enjoy hiking in the forest and maybe hot spots, maybe not, but just enjoying myself.
That's pretty good. In these last two we got in Maryland here, that's a little bit further from you, I think.
8-hour drive.
Yeah, about an 8-hour drive from where you're at. But two and within a week, two separate in the same area. Last week we had another guy named Austin and Mitchell, which Austin and Mitchell know, or Austin and Brandon tonight know Austin and Mitchell.
I saw the photograph, but was there an actual sighting that to go along with that photograph?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they actually saw the creature.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell the photograph. It's not. It's just a still frame, and I don't know how much of it is an optical illusion and how much is.
Yeah. Well, hello, Austin? Brandon?
They're going to ask questions. People are after.
Anyway, Rex.
So they saw, it with their own eyes?
Yeah, well, he was in a tree stand.
Oh, cool.
See, he was in a tree stand, and he heard that scream, and then because they're avid deer hunters, okay? And they're out in the woods all the time after school. They go to high school, but they're out in the woods all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of and it's in an area where they're very very familiar with, also. So it's not like they just, went to an area one time and had this encounter. This is where they've been hunting for quite a long time. And some of the sounds they've heard, they've never heard before. Now, that scream that Austin was telling about is very similar to in Texas, where one of the teams that we had that where they had the female cornered, and they heard the scream, the woman scream.
Mm-hmm.
A very similar, very same kind of a scream, a woman scream, is very similar to that incident. The picture is very similar to the picture from Texas. you know, that Tom had taken about, was that 3 years ago now? 4 years ago? 4 years ago, probably. And so it was very similar to, a lot of the things were similar to the picture. I took the picture and compared it to the video that we had of this other thing from Texas, okay? And the knuckle walking, all that stuff was all very, very, I mean, the same. Very, you know, the same kind of thing. But anyway, we'll find out.
Yep.
So I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I want to thank you also for hanging with us all these years.
Oh,
you know, both you and Jim have been a part of the our family here for, well, since 2005. And that's when we reorged and started over again, right? And you've been a part of it ever since then. And we just want to thank you for being a part of it and being with us all these years as well and all the work that you've done.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm going to mute you out right now. We'll go to Jim and find out how Jimmy's doing. Now, you guys get to see each other occasionally, right?
We were together on Sunday.
See? By golly.
First time in 2 years, but yeah.
Now, in New England, do they do tea and crumpets? I'm teasing.
No, this was barbecue and bullets.
Oh, there we go. That's what I was going to allude to. And that's what Jimmy was telling me. Barbecue and bullets. Thank you. We'll see you, Rex, and I'll keep in touch with you, my friend.
Sure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Rex Howdy Shell, we're going next to Jim Snell. Jim, how are you, my friend?
Good, Marco, my brother. How are you?
I am doing so good. Gosh, how you been?
Not too bad. Keeping my head above water and staying out of trouble as much as I can.
Well, you've been pretty busy though the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've had a lot going on, and but hey, like I said, it keeps me out of trouble.
Any activity in your areas that you've been associated with?
Yeah, I heard a story recently about an area out in Cheshire County, which isn't too far from me, and there were some folks out there, as the story goes, as their report goes. They have a little weekend cabin, excuse me, and apparently they've heard some growls and howls, and one night something threw a bunch of rocks at the cabin. So it was an interesting story. I myself haven't checked into it. I haven't had time to go over and make contact, but an interesting story because we've heard of that type of activity in the past.
Yeah. In the last few months, we've had at least, four or more rock throwing, a log thrown off a cliff.
Yeah.
I mean,
usually you hear about that type of, it's a defensive tactic, and generally you'll hear about that if somebody wanders into an area that, you know, they consider territorial.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes, more times than not, you hear about things being thrown at tents, at campers and stuff like that. But it's kind of interesting when it happens at a cabin. Of course,
yeah.
As the story goes, this was a weekend cabin, so you got to consider that, you know, during the week and probably every other weekend or whenever the folks don't make it up there, that, you know, if it is a creature, it has the area to itself. So, you know,
sure.
You'd see that kind of territorial behavior in that respect.
Well, you know, Jimmy, the things that stand out to me, and of course, nothing is conclusive. I mean, but the things that stand out and the things that we try to check when we have people tell us about this rock throwing and other things. In fact, Dean from Michigan, that's what he had happened to him. Big,
mm-hmm.
big rocks thrown
yeah.
at a long, long distance. Over
like,
the tree.
Yeah, like the Messing with Sasquatch commercial kind of deal.
Right. And then he has bear. See, him and his friend Mike work up there in the same area. They have each have their own area where they manage bears.
Oh, okay.
Okay. and so bears are all over the place over there. And so, but they know them. I mean, they've been working with them now for years.
Right.
And they have bait areas of bait where they'll keep bait, and then they'll kind of cover it up with logs and plywood and stuff like that to keep it covered.
Right.
And and more recently, what Dean was going to tell us tonight was this past 2 weeks, something's been going into his bait traps where he's got the bait at, and lifting up the logs and leaning them against a tree.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Bears can't do that.
Not your typical bear behavior, no.
No, no, and but, you know, he's known, you know, the bears have been there in other areas, like, but he could, because they, you know, drop a lot of scat stuff in the area that they're in.
Yep.
And, but, and of course, they've shoved or moved some of the logs around, but these logs, the big ones, were taken up completely and leaned against a tree, and then something had entered into it, and of course, screwed around with the bait. And so this didn't happen just once. This happened like three times.
Wow. And there's no other animal known to man out there that could, you know, accomplish that either.
Well, not one.
Yeah.
And then he did, I guess he found some tracks, and then also tree twists, and then also tree breaks, and then also great big rocks thrown at him.
Sounds like a good place for a trail cam or two.
Well, he doesn't. They don't have a trail cam, but he, you know, he and I, he's one of those. He's not one of those outdoors guys, and he doesn't believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, the trail cam stuff. He believes in you know, his own personal sightings and things like that he does. Him and Mike both do that.
Right.
But
well, in that case, sounds
pretty,
like a good
pretty
place.
Pretty active
to
here.
So, yeah.
Well, gosh, I'm going to keep in touch with you as well there, Jimmy.
Absolutely.
And it's such a pleasure for me to talk to both you and Rex. And I'll be here, and I'm sure you're going to be busy here shortly. And you guys, I want you to take care, and I'll keep in touch with you.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Thank you for coming on to wish us well, but I wanted to thank you and Rex specifically because of all the years you've been with us and all the years that you've, I mean, a lot of the things that we've gotten are the result of both of your guys' hard work.
Well, it's been nonstop. It's been a pleasure and nonstop fun every time we get together. Every time we go out there, it's exciting. You know, I consider myself lucky to be involved.
Well, we certainly are. We're certainly. I know Tom can't. I can't speak for Tom, but you know, I don't have to. You know how Tom feels. About
I think
both
Tom
you
likes
guys.
Me.
Of course. And you know, I just wanted to let you. He was really mad that he couldn't make it on the show tonight. God,
yeah.
He was mad.
That's too bad. But regardless, he's laid the groundwork for everything that we've been able to do, and he's made it possible for us to have these experiences and to meet and talk with these great people and to put our boots on the ground in these great areas and stuff like that. And that's something I'll be forever grateful for.
Well, I understand, and thank you so much, too. Well, I'm going to mute you out, and we're going to continue on with the show. And you take it easy, Jim.
Okay. Thanks, Marco.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was Jim Snell. Let's see here. Oh, my gosh. Anthony, how are you? Are you there, Anthony?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Anthony from Virginia. I have Anthony sent me some pictures, and the pictures are of tree formations, and one was an earlier picture from quite a while ago that you originally took, and
yeah,
then we took another picture of it now recently, and you look at that, and it's cracked even more. I mean, it's, before it was bent, now it's actually broken in half. So, and then, well, you can explain all that. They're up on www.bigfootlive.com. It's a slideshow right under Anthony's heading for the show tonight.
Yeah, some of those pictures that you posted there, they look like the ones that from your other guest last week. You know.
Yeah, from Tim
on the show. Yeah,
from Tim from Mississippi.
Yeah,
you thought I took your pictures and posted them. I made a mistake.
Yeah, you know. So at least now he's definitely going to be even more familiar with what I was talking about, because you know it was in an area where it was a little contract offense, you know. But you know, I just happened to be back there this week, and I just thought it was amazing, you know, because I've been there just a few times in the past few months, and the last few times that I've been there, you know, I still saw the tree arched over, but this past week, you know, I saw that break in it, and I'm like, well, you know, like, yeah. So, you know, to me, I guess, you know, for these big trees that they bend over, I guess they still, you know, they don't just bend them over and leave them there. They just, you know, I guess they still use it or whatever, you know. I don't know what the purpose is, but at the same time, you know, I mean, really, you know, it's still, you know, if definitely, I'll tell you what it's not. It's definitely not a tree falling on it, you know, because you would have found the tree next to it, or you know, at least damaging that little contract.
Well, yeah, you got to look at it and say, okay, what could have done that damage?
Yeah,
and it certainly wasn't the wind.
No, I doubt that very much. Yeah.
Well, I looked. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, it's not the wind. It's not a weather, because all the other trees around it are, you know, standing nice and straight, and that's got a nice, at first it's bent over a long time ago when you did a picture, and now it's completely cracked.
Yeah, I mean, that's snapped, and I mean, that's
snapped,
at least a 12-inch diameter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
and guess what?
It,
Tim from Mississippi had the same kind of tree.
Yeah, well, the relatives down there are, you know, doing the same thing the relatives up here do.
I guess so.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate.
Well, tell us, anything going on with you and your friend? I know your friend's back has been. How's he doing? Is he doing okay?
I haven't heard from him. I'm thinking it's probably because of his back. When I don't hear from him, it is because, you know,
sure,
he's probably not feeling well. You know, and but I will say this though, I did speak with Jim Dawson. And, you know, he was by the dock with his son, and he you know, had turned on some of his, you know, the dock lights there, you know, cause to light up that, because it's a very dark area there. And
right.
As soon as he turned the lights on, he said across the way there on the other side of the river, because the river comes, you know, right by back of his property, he said he's saw a pair of orange-red eyes, looking at prism-like eyes looking at him, you know, as soon as they turned the lights on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, so there's another friend of ours that, you know, that we know that, you know, still experiencing activity in this area, and that was this week.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's amazing. There's a lot of activity going on right now. I mean, a lot.
And
Bigfoot Hotline's been just unbelievably busy.
You know, and it's a shame, because I know the work, you know, I've seen Rex at work, you know, setting up the video equipment there and his little mini DVR and stuff like that. I mean, you know, he tries. I know, I mean, everybody there, you know, I mean, it's a group effort, you know, but, I mean, you know, if everybody can, if we could have more groups, I'm sure we'd have a lot more evidence and better evidence, you know, because more time to read. I mean, because it's just, you know, with a hand, you know, the more the merrier, you know what I mean?
So, I know. Well, are you next to your computer?
I can be.
Well, when you come up, I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on and being a part of our Bigfoot family with all the rest of the folks there.
Oh, for including me.
It's our happy 7th little anniversary here, but every, you know, you're always there, you're always out there looking, and it's never a dull moment, and I really appreciate that, all the efforts that you've made through these years here, these past few years, to keep things going and keep, you know, information coming in. There's a lot of things that you've brought forward the pictures of these different tree formations, footprints, many of the other things that you've experienced and had, or with other people that you've interviewed experienced in your area there, and that's really significant. I thank you.
Well, I thank you for, you know, including me these past, 3 years now.
Yep.
You know? And, you know, because you and Tom, you know, the only guys that had called me.
Yeah.
There's some others that had, you know, shot an email and stuff like that. You know, I mean, with the exception of Jim's friend Stan, you know, I mean, you guys are the only ones that, you know, that called me back and talked with me on the phone, you know.
Yep.
And saw that I wasn't, you know, a kid doing them crank calls, you know. And,
no.
And just from the first phone call, I was learning that, hey, you know, what I'm experiencing is, you know, not new, but very common, you know, to what's going on out there.
Yeah, well, and that's the big thing that we try to get people to understand. You know, first of all, nobody believes you. Second of all, even if they don't believe you, it's hard to convince somebody that you saw what you saw. And then after a while, it brings doubt on yourself. And then sometimes people just get so frustrated that they don't even want to talk about it anymore. And they just turn it off in their mind and just forget it. But every piece of information that we get is that one more little morsel that we can use to help identify this species or different species, as it may be. And I want to thank you for coming on tonight and being a part of our family.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm just going to mute you out here a couple minutes, and we're going to go on and talk with Richard, who you know, and take a look under his listing there. And he has some pretty interesting photographs.
I saw
actually
them. They were really good.
Face of a Bigfoot. Okay? Pretty
really
neat.
Good picture. I've seen it.
Yeah. Some pretty neat stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I want to mute you out, and then we'll go into the five-minute thing here shortly.
Great.
Thanks, Anthony. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony from Virginia. Now we're going to go out to Richard from New York. Richard, how are you tonight, my friend?
I am wonderful, Marco. Thank you. And you?
Well, I'm great. Thank you for coming on and
nice.
And sharing with us. And I looked at those pictures, as you see. I don't know if you've been able to see the ones I posted. They all came out.
Good.
They all came out, with exception of one. And the one was just too grainy to be able to see anything.
Right.
But the others are all pretty good. You can see something in there, and it's pretty good. So
I blew it up today, and
yeah.
I can see the flesh on the face. You might imagine, you know, I know what I'm looking at, and it's got kind of a grayish brown the skin on its face.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got I never said this to you, told you this, Marco. In July, I went out and I heard like a distress call. Maybe 15 or 20 times I heard this call. I checked this. I thought maybe it was an owl or something. And I went.
Right.
And I listened to every owl call. It's not that. They were using chainsaws to cut down trees that day. Where
yeah.
I go. And the call sound almost like not like a cry, like a human cry, but like a cry of despair, you know, because they were maybe cutting the trees down.
Yeah.
Who knows how these things. But I heard this call over a period of about 10 or 12 minutes. I heard a series of calls, and I was a good half mile away, and I was still hearing the call.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Which means to me it couldn't have been a bird because it was going through trees and brush.
It was
my little microphone on my camera picked it up. What's that tell you, Marco? I mean, I can hear birds when I'm close, but not from a half mile away, the same call, and it wasn't following me.
I understand.
One of the guys that didn't come on tonight, Dean, he made a recording on his phone of some howls that he heard when he was out in the woods there, and he made recordings of it. And he's going to send them to me this week, and I'll have them posted up there so you guys can take a look and see if they're similar to what you guys have been listening to.
Let me just tell you something. If these guys from Finding Bigfoot had heard these calls, they would be doing dances. That's how good they were. It wasn't like that. It was just like a mournful, and it kept up.
Uh-huh.
It kept up. Not like every maybe 15, 20 seconds I would hear a call.
Well, I'll tell you what, Richard, let's go into our little 7 minute to 5 minute thing here. I'm going to put Anthony on, and I'm going to put Austin. Are you there, my friend? Well, let's see. Who's 937? Area code 937.
Nick.
Nick.
Yeah.
You're there, buddy. I think Austin lost his phone. Well, Nick, you're on, and let's open it up. Does anybody have any questions for Nick? Richard, Anthony?
Just, Nick, how much activity do you have in your area right now?
Well, this is my friend's house, and all summer he was having different kinds of activity, weird stuff he can't explain, and noises, whistles, tree knocking. I mean, the whistles answering each other back across the road, it's high-pitched whistles. Just something you never really heard before.
Nick, when Marco called me yesterday, I've had two visual sightings in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One was so quick I barely saw it, and the other one was quick, but I got a really good look.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that picture from Pennsylvania, they say that's a bear? You know, the one that you see it from behind? They don't know whether it's a bear or baby Bigfoot?
I don't know that one.
Well, my first sight, it would probably be my first sighting that I had. It looked kind of like that. It wasn't real thick through its body. It was kind of thin. It did have
thin and wiry, and I have a picture, Richard.
I have a picture from
1894 of a creature that was shot in 1894 by the Hudson Logging Company in Canada, up in Yakima. And that's one of four pictures that were taken of the dead creature that they shot. And if you look at it, it looks very nearly the same kind of size of a creature, very thin and wiry. You know, they were trying to pass this off as
emaciated bear.
Yeah.
I
got the newspaper picture that the guy took on his game cam. And if you look at it, it's only because it's facing the other direction. But when you take a look at it and you'll compare it to this picture from 1894, which is on a silver plate, the old silver plate photography stuff, and you take a look at it, you'd be amazed. It's got, you know, it's a different kind of a creature. That's what I was telling you. It's a wiry kind of a creature, not a heavy-duty one. It's about 5 to 6 foot tall.
That's what
maybe
I think.
Maybe 5 foot.
This almost looked like you would think a pre-human would look like, you know, Marco?
Yeah.
And the way it glided. Has anybody ever noticed how they moved? It like glided. It was so smooth.
Well, it all depends. It all depends what terrain you're in. I mean, these things are pretty fast. If you look at the video that Dave Ortiz took, and you watch the creature, that he's got about a 10-minute video of this thing walking over a long range of time. And this is in the desert areas, okay? And there's a road right next to the creature, and the creature is not walking on the road. The road is nice and smooth. The creature is walking through all the rocky terrain and stuff, and boy, he's making pretty good time.
Yeah, I think it's not a
fast walk. It's just a walk. But if you look and see how fast he gets from one place to the other, it's pretty fast.
Yeah, I think when I called you guys and told you about the sighting I had in the pine bush when I saw the one go on all fours, I think I told you guys that it was almost like cheetah, like it was so fast. I heard it before I saw it.
Yeah.
And all I saw was like a blur going across the trail.
But there are, and another thing that people, tree climbing, knuckle walking, all these are features of an ape or a chimp or an ape type of a creature. And we have pictures of those, that kind of a creature, where they knuckle walk. And that's where the Austin couldn't be on here, or Brandon couldn't be on here because their phone went dead. But basically, that's what they have. And, I mean, if you looked at the pictures from Texas, when you looked at the pictures that he took on his cam, it's almost the same. It looks very, very, the very same kind of a creature.
Mark, well, if you take a look at that picture close, if you can enlarge it that I sent you,
yeah,
the recent one, just look at the chin and the lips. You can see thin lips, and there's whiskers around the chin. Looks almost like a chimpanzee.
No, I looked at all of them. Yeah, and you have one at the very end. There is a dog faced type. Looks like a dog faced kind of a creature.
You can see a snout, right?
Yeah,
at
you
least
can see
I
a
can.
Snout.
Yeah.
I know I got a vivid imagination, but I can see a snout.
Yeah, I saw that snout on the picture.
And then also, Mac Jackson from Mississippi. More recently, he's had several pictures of the very same kind of creature. Now, I also have a picture of a creature from back about 5-6 years ago, and it's called, it was identified as the Beast of Seven Chutes in Canada, and I have the whole article on it, and I'm going to try to post all of these things up where people can take a look at these things and compare them. But it's very interesting. The creature's carrying a dog, and it's not a 9-foot or 8-foot creature. This is about a 6-foot creature, and it's thinner, and it's has a dog-looking face with a snout and fangs on it. It's holding a dog in its arm, carrying it. It has blood on its head, and it looks like it was eating the dog.
Hmm.
And it looks like a dead dog, a white dog, dead. And it's a pretty interesting picture. It's been out there. We had a gentleman, he can't speak English, but he had a friend of his that was interpreting for him, and we had him on the show about four or five years ago when he first got the picture. We had him on the show. And then since then, they've had it on the Internet all over the place. Now, the Beast of Bray Road in Wisconsin also identifies as something very similar to that, that type of thing as well.
Hey, Marco,
Yes?
If Rex ever wants to come, probably he's about 4 hours from me.
Yeah.
If Rex ever wants to come down, I'd be glad to have him take him out.
He had to get off to his phone battery died on him, too. But what we'll do is I'll try to contact him and get a hold of him and let him know that. Nick, are you going to continue on with what you're doing, my friend?
I'll try to make it out. It just depends on my money situation and stuff.
Oh, no. Don't make a major effort to do this. I mean, this is something. Don't worry about that. But just keep in touch with us.
It's just something I'll probably continue to do whenever I have the chance to.
Sure. Not a problem. Yeah, no, you have to, Nick, you got to take care of yourself and your family first. And then comes the hobby.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't worry about that. But is it something that you're interested in?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, once you start, Nick, you don't stop.
Yeah, this is true.
I was kind of before. Well, I mean, I told people that I would believe in Bigfoot over ghosts and aliens, and now I definitely believe more. So, yeah, definitely.
Nick, Nick, let me just tell you something. You will have people who think you're crazy. They've never set foot in woods. Do they have blinders on? Just ignore them, people. They'll think they think there's something wrong with you. Just ignore them.
Yeah.
The thing is that first of all, you know, you have to have an open mind, and you have to keep your mind open to different things. Most people, it's difficult to do that because you're in a certain regimen. Everything has to be a certain way. If it doesn't make sense, then you have to make the story fit a certain way in order for it to be true. But the thing is, what I look at is you can take the legends of these creatures from the Native Americans that we have, and every single tribe in America that I'm aware of so far has a name for this creature. And this creature has legends from these tribes where they've taken women and children, okay, from the tribes. The Native Americans, in fact, when I call it creature, they feel that's a disrespectful name to it, and probably rightly so in their culture. I don't know what else to call it, but they call it an elder or a brother, and they out of respect. Now, they have a lot of their beliefs, and these are also in a spiritual nature, not just physical, but spiritual as well. So, you know, a lot of these things, and so many people, I mean, just take a look. How many people, I mean, on our show alone, I've interviewed somewhere around 600 people in the last 7 years. 600 people that I've interviewed. Okay, that's a lot of people.
Even if it's 2%, it's true, Marco.
No, not 2%. 99 or 98 or 99%. Because the percentage of people that have had their sightings and things, I mean, this isn't something that they just all of a sudden made up. There were other corroborating things that went with it to substantiate that it had to be something. We couldn't call it a Bigfoot because we don't know. But when you look at the corroborating evidence that comes up with it, footprints, tree twists, in the same area as all this stuff is, besides the visual sightings itself, you put all those things together, and then that kind of paints a picture. And that's what I'm all for. And we need to be aware, keep an open mind, be aware, take accounting and take accounting for what we see and hear and do, and try to make some sort of sense out of it. But don't just throw it away. Keep it, package it up, and somebody else, when you compare it with a whole bunch of other people's stuff, you find out that it's the same as somebody else. And that's how we do it. Anthony, Richard, Nick, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show tonight and enjoying our anniversary. We've used the whole hour and a half up. And I just want to thank you again, and you guys take care.
Can I just say something quick, Marco?
Sure, Ken.
Tom gave me 2 DVDs, and
yes.
Your product is so outstanding, I can't believe it. It's the best I've ever seen. The production quality and what's in it, you're putting out an outstanding product.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, everybody, we're going to close the show. Say goodnight to everybody.
Night.
And everybody out there in the Bigfoot world, keep on Bigfooting. And we'll see everybody next week. Take care now, and good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together.